What's your idea of perfect rest? Perhaps a break, a family holiday, or a romantic holiday, time off work? At a time when we're all cooped up in lockdown, perhaps it's going back to work. Pamper days, your favourite sport or hobby, or just sat quietly, time to think. What's your idea of perfect rest? We're well into our current series in the book of Hebrews, a letter by an unknown author written to Christian converts from Judaism sometime around 50 to 70 AD. The letter's structure bounces between exposition and exhortation, teaching followed by warning and encouragement, followed by teaching, followed by warning and encouragement, and so on. Last week's passage began with an exhortation section in chapter 3, verses 7 to 19, and it was a warning against unbelief, of not trusting God and his word, of how the Israelites of the past missed out on reaching the promised land, rest in the land God promised them because of their unbelief, their failure to trust God and his word. As we come to chapter 4 now, do have your Bibles open and let me lead us in a prayer as we come to God's word. Father God, thank you for your word to us. We know that it exposes our lives before you. And as we come to your word now by your spirit, please help us see ourselves clearly. Help us see our need for a saviour. And may it be both a challenge and an encouragement for us to become more and more like those who live by faith in the Lord Jesus, as we trust and obey his call on our lives. In his name we pray now. Amen. God promised rest to his people, Sabbath rest. Through the Bible, there are signposts of that. For example, the Sabbath day, the promised land of the Old Testament. But each signpost points ahead to something more, perfect rest. And here in Hebrews, the writer says, Jesus is the one who will get you to the true promised land, the perfect Sabbath rest. He is the fulfillment of everything those signposts pointed to. Jesus is the one. And through this letter so far, we've heard how great Jesus is. It's about all we've heard. Like a broken record, Jesus is great. Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than an Israelite great, Moses. Jesus speaks a greater word than all God's prophets of the past. So listen to Jesus, we're urged. Listen to Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Listen to Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Listen to Jesus. Do not harden your hearts. Do not miss out on the perfect rest God offers those who do listen to Jesus. Jesus' word in the Bible. Mark 1:15 that calls us to repent and believe the good news. The good news of the gospel, of Christ crucified, risen and reigning to bring us into God's perfect rest. A call to turn around, to stop living as gods of our lives instead of God. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Turn to Jesus, enter God's perfect rest, God's present help, and God's future hope. Present help. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. And a future hope when we die. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They will rest from their labour, says the Spirit of God. Unlike those of Moses' generation who didn't listen, who didn't trust, who didn't obey, and so missed out on rest in the land God promised them. What an offer. A glorious offer of coming into God's perfect rest as we listen to his word and turn to Jesus, trusting in him, entrusting him with our lives. Present help and future hope. Or as the old hymn goes, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Present help, God's spirit in our hearts, bringing us peace with God, enemies no longer at war, and strengthening us for all life brings in this present imperfect world. A deep sense of peace that God is with us every step of life. with an eternal hope on top of that, that one day we will live in perfect rest with God forever in a perfect world, this world renewed. No wonder the writer to the Hebrews says, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering God's rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. An exhortation not to miss out. Verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter God's rest. Which is really the take home this morning. It's an urging, an encouragement, an exhortation. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 1 to 11, make every effort to enter God's rest. Make every effort to enter God's rest. You will know that stomach churning moment when you realise it's too late. You've missed the train or the plane, you've woken late for an exam, you've forgotten your password for the Zoom interview, and the moment has gone. But then you realise the clock's changed last night. There's an extra hour to play with. You have the time you need, it's not too late. What are you going to do? Roll over, stay in bed, go home? Quite the opposite. Make every effort. You've been given a gift, an opportunity. Don't waste it. Make every effort to enter God's rest. Hebrews 4:1, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. The promise of entering God's rest still stands. Come, verse 2, through the good news of the gospel. The word proclaimed, Christ crucified, risen and reigning to bring us to God. One simple response required, trust and obey. Believe and follow, or as Paul puts it so beautifully in Romans chapter 1 verse 5, the obedience that comes from faith. A trust in God that changes our hearts and works out in our lives, that we might enter God's rest. For those who failed to experience God's rest in the past, verses 2 and 6, this is what was missing. Trust and obey. The obedience of faith. Faith isn't, in that sense, a complicated mystery. Trust what God says and do it. Its simplicity reminds me of the simplicity of another old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Faith isn't about having all the answers. It isn't even the removing of doubts and concerns from our lives. Many faithful Christians still have doubts and concerns when we consider our lives and the world. I was chatting to a couple this week about unanswered prayer for things that are surely good things to pray, but they haven't come. What's God doing? This moment of virus and lockdown, what's God doing? And we hear many speculations about what God might be doing. Opportunity, judgment, sifting. I don't know what God's doing. I have my own questions and frustrations for all that's happening in the world, but also personal plans and hopes that have been disrupted. What's God doing? Faith isn't about having all the answers. It isn't even the removing of doubts and concerns from our lives. But faith is trusting God no matter what. That God is in control. That God has a plan. That God is good. That God will never leave his people. That one day God will fix all the brokenness of the world and the brokenness of our lives, the lives of his people. And faithful lives are lived in light of that. As those truths transform our thoughts and our words and our deeds, that we don't seek to transform the circumstances, but that we seek to live transformed lives through the circumstances. Let God deal with the circumstances. But actually, for our part, the call on us each day is to live wholeheartedly for the Lord in every part of life, in every decision we make, whatever he puts before us. Will we honour God and do things, make choices that bring us closer to Jesus? That's what we're faced with each day. And in doing so, we will find we love others as we love ourselves, selfless and sacrificial. We'll share the good news with those who haven't yet entered God's rest, and encourage one another as God's people, that we might indeed enter the fullness of God's perfect rest on the day Jesus returns. It is this faithful and obedient attitude, as one Christian writer notes, looking at verses 1 to 11 of chapter 4, that was missing in the lives of those who failed to experience God's rest in the past. The word of God's rest was proclaimed to them, but they did not receive it by faith. Though, as we've already said, the Sabbath day, the promised land, they're ultimately signposts pointing to something more. Perfect rest found through faith in the risen and reigning Lord Jesus. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is doing in verses 3 to 8, connecting Genesis 2 and Psalm 95 to show that the rest God invited his people to join him in the Garden of Eden, after his creating work was done, wrecked through us, by us through the fall, well, has taken different forms through the ages, but each ultimately pointing ahead to ultimate fulfillment in Christ in eternity. So verse 9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following past examples of disobedience. I'm purposefully not going to dig deeply into Sundays, what you might be doing after church this morning, or indeed if whether or what you might be doing really matters or not. But it is worth saying, wherever we land as Christians on Sunday activity, together or as individuals, that the heart of Sabbath keeping is indeed the heart, trusting God as we enjoy time to rest. Sabbath rest is bigger than just Sundays, though I tend to find that any attempt I make falls short. Sometimes because I try and rest, but I can't turn my brain off. The one night I have the chance to get to bed early, I lay awake spinning things round in my mind. And the family holiday, well, that's never perfect rest. When our family goes away, wherever we go, we're still five sinners all together in the same space. Sabbath rest isn't about taking me time to do what I want. Time out of real life, Sundays or otherwise. Sabbath rest is a principle of trusting in God, in his sufficiency through life. It is therefore an act of faith. Not quiet or passive, but active, exercising faith, trust and obedience in God in all of life. And as we trust and obey God in all that lies before us, day by day, in all he calls us to do, he brings us through. He keeps us. He sustains us. He gives us strength we never imagined. He gives us hope we never had. He gives us contentment and joy that we are in the place he wants us to be following our Lord and Saviour. Make every effort to enter God's rest today, every day, into eternity through the obedience of faith. One writer notes that if God is the engine of the car of our life, and indeed our car won't go without an engine, nevertheless, the car doesn't suddenly start going just because it has an engine. I don't imagine many of us listening now own cars without engines. But where are they? Well, they're sat outside our homes going nowhere. The car also needs a driver. We are called into God's rest, yet called to be active with God in that life. And this isn't the moment to go into doctrines of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. And I am 100% signed up to God's complete and utter sovereign control over every atom that moves in all of creation. The point in this passage is from our perspective, not God's. And it's an exhortation to be active in our lives as Christians, to make every effort to enter God's rest. The rest we became heirs of as we came to trust in the risen and reigning Lord Jesus through the good news proclaimed to us. The call God makes on me is to obey his call in my life, to live in the obedience of faith, to listen to the word of God and obey it. An active trust in the risen and reigning Lord Jesus that works itself out in every part of my life. It's the call on each of us who would call ourselves Christians. We can't prescribe exactly what that looks like in each of our contexts, but a great starting point, it is a disciplined life. Self-control, daily fighting against sin and for godliness. What might that look like then more practically? Examples? Well, I guess it would mean for some ending the relationship you know is not what God wants for you rather than tangling yourself deeper and deeper. I guess it would mean for some not surfing the internet late at night when you're tired and your guard is down, walking yourself into temptation. I guess it would mean for all of us nurturing spiritual discipline. Making time to daily read God's word, to hear him speak, and to daily speak to him in prayer. And serving others, putting their needs above our own desires, especially in the church family as part of one body. And those examples aren't about being legalistic, but disciplined. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Disciplined. Obedient to God's call over our lives, in every part of our lives. I read the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Legalistic? No. Disciplined. Let's not use legalistic as an excuse to be disobedient in doing what we want. Oh, that we might each be as disciplined as Daniel, starting, I know, for me in my own life. For our good and God's glory. Rather than hanging loose to and turning a blind eye to sin. Or even worse, trying to justify our sin as something God would be pleased with because it's happened. It's not our call to be God, but to be obedient to God's call on our lives as long as it's called today. Only as we exercise our faith in daily life will we know in our lives the perfect rest God offers, today and every day, and then in perfect rest in eternity. Only as we exercise our faith in daily life will we know the truth of Jesus' words in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. To quote once again, then you can live in the richness of everything that's intended for you. There'll be nothing that faces your life that is bigger than the resources you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you'll never prove it unless you obey. There are battles every day in our lives for our time, our energies, our affections. But there's also victory, because that's the business God's in for those who seek to love him wholeheartedly with our lives. It's a victory we can know and experience in part in this present age and in full in the age to come. Praise God for the glorious good news of the gospel proclaimed to us here in Crowborough. Make every effort to enter God's rest. Though I don't know if you're doing that or not, it's hard enough when we can meet all face to face for us to know what's each going on under in each other's lives. Though we get a better sense as people meet together. You know, Sundays, prayer meetings, home group, we can see faces, we can read body language, we can have face-to-face conversations. It's much harder now over Zoom church at St. Richard's. It's even harder at All Saints where we're broadcasting Sunday services. We know people are watching, or at least one person's clicking the view button lots of times, but we have no idea who. Are you keeping going in your faith? Making every effort to enter God's rest? And obviously not just on Sunday mornings. The opportunity to one another, to encourage and keep each other accountable, it is much harder in lockdown with everything much more restricted. Nothing is hidden from God, though. And that's where we're going to end this morning. Not a second point as such, more a concluding note. Make every effort to enter God's rest, for nothing is hidden from God. Our response to God and his word is the marker of where we stand before him. Will we trust and obey? The obedience of faith. The same word that God will hold us accountable against on that final day when Jesus returns in all his glory. Our response to the word of God is what reveals where we stand before God. And that's what's happening there in verses 12 and 13. Nothing is hidden from God. All will be laid bare, stripped back, the state of our hearts revealed, inescapable. The language here pictures a wrestler with an inescapable hold. Later on in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, we read that we are all destined to die once and after that to face judgment. And as we face judgment, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, we will be examined, judged against God's word. The surgeon's scalpel that cuts back to reveal what's underneath. We will be examined, judged against God's word and our response to it. Have we taken that word to heart in the obedience of faith? Is that what's driving and shaping our lives? Make every effort to enter God's rest through the obedience of faith, for nothing is hidden from God. Better that we face that truth now than face God face to face when it's too late. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your life-giving, rest-bringing word to us, through whom the person and work of the risen and reigning Lord Jesus is revealed. That we might turn to him in repentance and faith and so find rest and become heirs of the perfect rest you offer to all who trust in him. And we pray too that having turned to Christ, we might indeed for our part make every effort to enter your perfect rest. Open our eyes to areas of our lives that we need to bring under your will for us. Help us be humble to admit the changes you show we need to make. And that you promise to work your spirit in us as we commit those areas to you. Show us in your word what that means for each of us at this moment today. Let us hear your voice and not harden our hearts to all you offer in and through the Lord Jesus. Amen.